not, I'm not going to drink while you're talking because that's impossible to edit out.
That's okay. It's fine. Ew. I'm going to have to hear that in playback. I'm not looking forward to that.
Okay, I'm done with the ASMR jokes. I'm going to... 20 minutes later.
I have to think about how to do this intro. I've never done this before. Okay. Oh my gosh. Because I had to explain what happened to Trent too.
Hi, my name's Chris. Welcome to my Mask for Mask channel. Today I'm interviewing Curtis Dallin. Get ready for the ride.
You know, we'll just leave it at that. Okay. Done. Hi, Curtis.
Hey.
Curtis, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, you guys can't see this, everyone listening, but I'm with Curtis Dallin. This is one of my favorite people on the planet. The quick explanation to why I'm here and Trent's not. Trent has been quite ill, and so he's unable to be in this episode. But that being said, I texted Curtis, like, how many days ago?
Two
days ago, and I was just like, hey, do you want to record? And he was like, okay, sure. Exactly. I said record a podcast. I didn't say like record porn or something like that. I said a podcast. I said that. So that's why he's here. So we're glad he's here.
Thanks for specifying that.
Yeah, we don't do porn.
No.
That's all I have to say about that. Okay, Curtis, you have to tell us about yourself.
I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I'm a photographer. I live in Salt Lake City currently. What else do you want to know?
Did you say you're a photographer? You already mentioned that part?
No.
I'm
a photographer.
He's not just a photographer. He's an incredible artist. You have to understand that. Curtis and I met, oh my gosh, how many years ago?
Let me think about this. I think it was 2015 or 14.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a lot shorter, but maybe that's just, or a lot longer maybe, but I don't know. But it's been a while.
Yeah.
Curtis lived in good old Provo. For those of you who don't know what Provo is to Utah, it's like the Eagleton of Utah. It's not the place you want to be, but BYU University, Brigham Young University is there.
That's something else about me. I have the very, unique life story of being Mormon for 23 years of my
yep.
life.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I bet so, you haven't heard that.
And so this is what's funny is that I met when Curtis was still going to BYU, but he was like a very out gay man when I met him, but he was going to BYU. So he was just like defying all of the university, essentially.
Trying to get kicked out.
Basically. Right. Yeah. So I met him that way, and I immediately was, like, obsessed, probably to the point of, like, flirtation. But then we quickly became friends, and that's how the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, I was convincing you that you're a great model.
Yes, and I thought he was flirting. Turns out he really was just telling me I was a great model. Which is totally fine, because we became great friends. So we know each other for years, and his art only gets better and better and better. And now he finally took from Provo, and now he's here in Salt Lake, only like 10 minutes from me.
Yeah, we're neighbors.
And he's thriving.
Thank you.
Or do you think you're thriving? What do you think?
Ask me. Depends on the day.
Okay. Okay, actually, but you are thriving because you, tell everyone what you recently did.
Oh, I recently got to shoot with Tan France.
Tan France of Queer Eye.
Yeah, it was an amazing shoot. It was so fun.
I saw Curtis was mentioned on Tan France's post, and that's how I found this out. And I was like gay screaming very loudly at work when I was like, oh, must be nice, Curtis, when he just casually throws out. You didn't even name drop that. He did it for you.
He did it for me. That was great. It was so nice.
It was incredible. And you guys just did it at your house and everything.
Yeah.
And you just got to shoot Tan France.
Yeah.
And it's on his Instagram and everything. What's your Instagram handle?
It's at Curtis Dallin.
Yeah. I'll throw it up on the website and everything. But so the reason why he's here is because I think Curtis's perspective on a lot of art and things like that is pretty fascinating. And we had some pretty good talks, mostly over wine, but like, they still are pretty in-depth conversations, I'd say so.
Great conversations.
Wonderful conversations. But he he's super artistic, and he has done a lot of different artwork and everything. Most of it, what would you say? Most of it has been with a variety of people, but there's been a lot of, like, gay men you shot in your time.
Yeah, it's mostly men, and mostly gay men. And it just kind of comes from people I know. The majority of people I shoot are people that don't really have a lot of experience modeling.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked more with people where it's their first time being in a photo shoot than people who are experienced. And let alone, like, get naked and be vulnerable and get in all these weird scenarios that I make people get into. And they always turn out great.
Do you, and is there like a conscious decision to work with less experienced people? Or is that just how you find them? Or is it like, is there a reason why you don't go for the, I would probably say like more experience, like has an agent or something like that, or something like that? Is there like a reason behind it?
That's a good question. I don't think there's like a conscious reason behind it. I think it's more about people I know and who I can reach out to and are available.
Right.
Yeah.
And the whole getting naked part, is that like, how does that, do you tell them beforehand?
Completely. Before anybody shoots with me, they know exactly what the shoot's about and what's happening. And yeah.
That's good. And I think the photo shoots I've done with you, you've told me that.
Right.
And they're very, like, not cut and dry, because they're also super fun. Yeah. But, like, it's also it's very professional. Which is...
I'm happy to hear that.
Which is, yeah.
That's good.
It's incredible. I love working with you on all your stuff, and I love seeing it, too. When it comes to... So, your stuff is mostly on social media. You've had a couple of art shows back up at school.
Right.
And different stuff, but most of it's on social media, right?
Yeah, just because it's so accessible and so easy. One of my goals for 2019 is to actually have a physical show here in Salt Lake. Get that started. That's the stuff I'm more interested in. But yeah, I do a lot on Instagram because it's free and it's immediate and it's so accessible. I do have a website that I update like once a year. I'm so lazy when it comes to that.
Right. But so Instagram is just it's a great place to do it, and everyone can see everything.
And there's good and bad on social media, but one of the things Instagram has allowed me to do, besides have a free portfolio, is connect with people I would have never connected with. We mentioned 10 friends. That's how we got connected. And there's so many artists and people, models, every type that I've got to meet through Instagram. And that's one of my favorite things about it.
Right.
I've kind of been on the fence at times of, oh, should I get rid of it? Should I not? Because I spend too much time on there.
Like, get rid of Instagram, you mean?
Yeah. Right. But every time I stop because I think about all the people that I've got to meet through Instagram, which has really added value to my life and to my work.
Right. And to go back to Instagram, I think that... So my whole thing with social media and the queer community... It has, like, I have, like, good and bad, kind of what you're saying about Instagram, like, sometimes you want to delete it for X and Y reasons, and sometimes, and then you keep it because it also is a good channel for X and Y reasons. What are your thoughts? Like, what are some examples or times or experiences where you want to delete it, and then you suddenly change your mind? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, when Apple came out with their little feature that shows how much you use your different apps.
Oh, like I was the like, screen time?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, I have to get rid of this. I'm a monster. So things like that.
Right. Mine was mostly entertainment. I knew it was Netflix because I like fall asleep to like Friend episodes like every night. So
That's a good way to fall asleep.
Right.
With friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more the merrier my bed. That's the motto.
I love it. Let's do a shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Other things, I think, I'm speaking for myself because you can't talk for other people's intentions.
Right.
But the things I've experienced are, first, the bad is I find getting stuck in what I call like the vortex of Instagram, your motives become distorted. It's not necessarily about posting or sharing art, which in my opinion is my main purpose to be on there, it can turn into what's going to make people happy, what are people thinking, and then this whole like comparing
right.
my life to what I see on social media. It's things we've all heard before, but those are the reasons where I'm like, I need to get out of this. This isn't healthy for my lifestyle.
Do you think that that's, and I think so, but do you think that that's much more prevalent in the queer community, especially mostly centered around gay men? Because I mean, like my, and it's based on what you follow and what you like and things like that, what they generate for you. But like my discovery feed and, you know, what people post, it's, you know, it's a lot of
fit men,
right? Yeah. Abs and yeah. butts. And I mean, like, I follow these accounts, you know, on my own volition, mm-hmm. but then, you know, there creeps in that sense of insecurity and body issues. And I think I think a lot of people strive for that, or for those accounts, because I think those are what's going to get them attention, which right. It does, but I mean, I don't know if that's like, I think there's like an issue, but also it's like Instagram, and then you get to post whatever the hell you want, so I don't really right. know.
I know it's a hard question to answer, because I think it's so easy to get caught up in trying to please other people versus just, and you go to Instagram for so many different purposes. I go to Instagram principally to like share my work, but I've gone through so many different phases and used it for so many different reasons. But I think with social media and the gay community, I've experienced a very limited view of it, because I live in Utah, I grew up Mormon, and so that's kind of the biases I have through it.
Right.
And I see a lot of my own intentions getting morphed by these desires to be validated, and also comparing and judging. All things that have kind of innately formed as far as like habits go throughout my life. And I'm always trying to escape those things. And I find Instagram can feed my judgment, can feed my comparing and my quick draws for validation.
Right. And I think what I love about your stuff is that, like, to be frank, like, your Instagram account could fall into that trap, like, yeah. quite easily. With right. just the photos you take, the people you do it with, it could easily fall into that of an account that is not so much artistic as it is validation right. And just, like, a thread of likes and comments and objectifications and that kind of account, which we all know, and sometimes we all know and love, and I follow them and people follow them, and that's just the way things are.
Yeah.
So but what you do is that it's not that at all. It's yeah. actually art. And I think therein lies that difference. And you can see that difference.
Thanks.
I'm just gonna constantly compliment you the whole podcast.
Yeah, my face is so red. Thank you, though.
But, well, and so I think, and but, like, how does one, how do you, but, like, how, does it get in your head that you're, like, I need to be validated? I need to, like, if I just post this naked guy, I'm going to get all these likes, blah, 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 blah. But if I post this other picture, it won't get as many.
And, I kind of, you know. I think a good way I think of it is when I'm at the gym, if I find myself comparing or if I'm there, like, just trying to, in my mind, get the hottest body or all those kinds of things, I stop going to the gym. Because the reason I want to be there is because I want to love my body and, like, keep it healthy. Doesn't mean that's always my intention. And when I catch myself with that intention, I'll, like, take a week or a month away from the gym until I can really feel that my motivation to go there is just to have a healthy lifestyle. And I do the same thing with Instagram, where if people's opinions and reactions to my work are influencing the work I create, I, like, don't post on there for a while, and I stay away from it until there's, like, this burning desire to create something and share what I'm feeling. Because that's the intention and desire I pursue Instagram with. And when that's different, like comparing or validation, I remove myself from it and wait till I can reset my intentions.
That is, like, very hard to do. I fall into not doing that. Like, the lines of intention on Instagram and social media in general are just so blurry.
Right.
That's where it always gets me. I don't know why, but it always just gets me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really difficult to navigate. I think for me, it's about staying grounded and intentional about why I'm doing things. Like, am I mindfully doing this, and can I stand behind the reasons of it? Like, whether it's the gym or what I'm posting on Instagram or my photo shoots. Like, you've been privy to various photo shoots with me, and there's never a sexual energy in the shoots. Like, absolutely getting a request not. Of like, hey, you want to do this photo shoot? Also, you're going to be wearing this or not wearing this, and I'm going to be throwing a pineapple full of paint at your face or some weird thing. You're not going to... It could sound really weird.
Right.
Which is always my concern. But whenever you're at the shoot, it's like, oh, this is just about making something that's about feelings. It's not about trying to get someone in a certain scenario. For me, when I make art, it's strictly always about that. It's like a lot of my art is, I consider, photo therapy for myself about certain issues or whatever I'm dealing with. And I really enjoy that whole process. And it's never about trying to connect with this person because I think they're hot.
Right.
You know, I just want to make a piece of art. And the reason that's worked, you're right, is because my intention's sincere. Everyone who shot with me can feel that. And if that wasn't my intention, people wouldn't continue to trust me with those kinds of shoots because it's obvious what your intentions are.
And you don't have to name names, but has there ever been a time where someone has tried to alter the energy of your shoots?
That's a great question because I've been asked that a couple times, and I think it goes over my head. When I'm... because I consider myself a sexual being, like... but at the same time, at photo shoots, I'm, like, being... I'm directing things, and so everything just goes over my head.
Right.
I think if I were to say, no, that's never happened, it'd probably be ignorant to say that.
Right.
I'm sure it's happened, but honestly, me being so disconnected to that objective, I probably just got a response of being shut down. Like, it's like making me want someone and they're not even looking at you.
Right.
And it's not because I'm rejecting someone. It's because I'm in a mindset where there's pressure and I'm trying to get a certain image. So if someone is making those moves, it's literally just going over my head.
Fascinating. And I have been a photo shoot with you. And I think the underwear one we did, that's the one I always refer to in my brain. Because it,
we had four or five guys
there. There was like four or five. Yeah, there was four guys there. I guess myself, four.
Okay.
Initially when we got there, like, I wasn't 100% sure.
Right.
And my friend that was with me, we weren't 100% sure. And I was like,
Gabe Provoite going to try and turn this into some weird orgy?
Yeah, exactly. But then once we got started, that never crossed my mind. Like, I was having fun. It was professional. But it could, like, if someone would have walked in or if someone would have seen it, especially and people who, especially in Provo at the BYU campus.
Because nudity only means sex. It's the only
thing. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like the moment people just see that there, it just auto goes to, oh, these dudes are going to do something.
Right.
And it never turned that way. And then even when it was over, it was like, all right. You were like, all right, thanks. And you like disappeared. And I was like,
see you guys.
Yeah. You like kicked us out. I was like, all right, see ya. But yeah, no, I think that speaks volumes, but I also, it's interesting to hear that, like, you don't even, it doesn't register.
No.
Because you shot some, like, pretty beautiful people.
Yeah.
In your amazing history. People. Yeah.
Everyone I shot has been beautiful.
Right. And that's why, like, I'm just saying, like, if I haven't been naked in front of you, not yet anyway.
Right.
But, like, it could just be, I don't know, because if it's just you and a person... I don't know if, like...
I think it's actually a really beautiful experience because I grew up with the mentality that nudity is bad. It's always sexual. And this isn't the objective, but I think one of the things that I enjoy about this scenario is it's creating new experiences that teach us that the nude body is something beautiful, whether it's right. sexual or not. And so when we have these photo shoots, whether they're worried it's going to be that kind of setting or not worried, they come out of it feeling like they created something beautiful. They're a piece of that experience, and it didn't have to be sexual. Just like we were mentioning earlier, like you can be friends with other gays. It doesn't always have to have this like sexual objective to it. Not that that's right. a bad thing, but to always have that pressure onto everything, I think, is unhealthy. Absolutely. And so something I enjoy about the nudity I have in my art is it doesn't feel like porn. Not that that porn's bad. It's just, it shows people that nudity can also just be an appreciation of beauty.
Right. And you do a really good job of that. And that's why in a world where if there was a nude photo shoot that you needed me, I would probably say yes. I'd have many insecurities about it.
And that trust means yes. the world to me. That's also why I would never abuse that trust.
Right.
Because the fact that people trust me that way and give me that vulnerability adds to the beauty of the whole process I go through. And it gives a lot of value to me to see that people are willing to trust and be vulnerable to, you know, for some of them a stranger or someone they know a little bit of.
So then speaking of art and nudity and that whole situation, can we talk about porn for a second?
Sure.
Because like, right? It's a great conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough conversations about porn.
I agree.
I just
it's
like...
It's so shamed.
It really is. And I was at the gym the other day and I saw two porn stars. Well, one porn star and his boyfriend. He's also a porn star. And I was like... Awesome. And I was just like, oh, cool. That's right. cool. And I just kind of kept working out, not really thinking about it.
It happened to me at a Miami beach. I was like, why do I recognize those two guys? And after a few minutes, I was like, oh, that's right.
Do you like...
I didn't, but I was like, wanted to go up there and be like, love your work.
Yeah. Well, see, I was in LA once and with my friends, we were going out and I saw a porn star, adult film star, I don't know what you call them. Anyway, I saw him and I was like... I was drunk enough to be brave, but not enough to be dumb.
That's perfect.
That like perfect little medium before it all goes to shit. And so I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I love your work. And he was like, oh my God, thank you. And I was like, can we make out? I'm just a visitor. And he's like, sure. So we made out for like a couple. And also I just walked away and I was like, it was nice to see you. And I left.
That's beautiful.
And it was a great moment. And then it happened with another porn star the second night.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Look at you.
I was trying to go for three, but I didn't see a third. But it was like, I was like, I just wanted like that moment and I had it. And then I walked away and I was happy.
That sounds beautiful.
It was a great time. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm very proud of that. I'm not ashamed by it. But okay, so when it comes, last time we spoke, we did this awesome yarn photo shoot that I will never forget.
I never thought I'd hear that, an awesome yarn photo shoot.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, the yarn, and you were like, all right, take off your shirt. And I was like, all right. And then it was just like threading through my hair and this whole thing, but I loved it. But we talked about what you want to do concerning art and the products you have in mind, and you have to just explain it. And then this is why we're talking about. Go ahead, just tell me about your product. What you want to do?
My Kim K video.
No,
I'm just kidding. Oh wait, scratch
yeah.
that.
No, not that one. The other one. Yeah.
I think it goes with what I was saying about nudity isn't always sexual. Not that it's bad when it is.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that applies to... that's not the right way to say it. So your typical porn video, which we're both fans of,
mm-hmm.
and supporters.
Yep, huge supporters. I respect it, yeah.
There's a certain layout and objective to it. And it's all about the... like seeing the dick or like the actual act of like two dudes having sex and or anybody having sex. And it kind of, in my opinion, ignores the beauty of like two or more people connecting in a physical way.
Right.
And it's not necessarily always focused on the most beautiful cinematography and lighting. And like one of my favorite sounds is the sound of skin on skin. I think it's such a like intimate and romantic sound.
Fascinating.
And but there's like all these small little details about sex that are so beautiful. And I really want to make a video, make content that showcases the beauty of sex. It's not necessarily about penetration or about seeing someone's dick or anything like that. It's about how beautiful it is for two people to have sex. And okay. And while I say that, it's not about being censored or not censored. And so in my mind, I see this like really, this like low-key shots of that's really showing the beauty behind these bodies and the movements that happen between them. And you know, of course Hans Zimmer's gonna score it for me. Obviously, I'm sure he's down for that.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait for that conversation to happen between hey, you and Hans Zimmer. Yeah, like you're just like, hey Hans, quick little side project I have for you, just want to know if you're down. He gets like full orchestra right. For it, and
I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's gonna happen.
But so picture Hans Zimmer scoring.
Yeah.
And just this beautiful cinematography that shows and celebrates how beautiful it is for two people to have sex. And I think that's an important thing because my experience in life has taught me that outside of one scenario, sex is bad. And I've had to, you know, through life, open my mind and learn that that's not the only thing. And,
right.
And that there's so much beauty to so many different lifestyles and it's been wonderful to learn that lesson. But one of those things is porn is evil and that there's one kind of outlook on nudity. And so that kind of content's important to me because it teaches my inner self, and I think other people who've experienced that, that there's every reason to celebrate sex or nudity, whether it's sexual or not.
And so when you told me about this originally, I went home and I really thought about it. Cause honestly, that like the way you describe it, I think the way you describe it versus what actually happens is just so difficult. I think people have, I'm sure you're not the only artist that has tried this.
Right.
And I'm also like, I also feel like there's that just that line is just so finite, like it's right. Just so fine and so delicate to not go into someone difference between art and porn, like basically this line is just so fine,
right?
And I think it's fascinating because when you were talking about it, I mean, like, I was just like, can someone actually do that? And can someone are there a lot more people who has a society or people and the queer community, has it gone to the point where we can't be able to decipher between that of art and be able to separate art and sex and image and video? Like, is it all, I feel like it's just kind of become a very like very blurred section of ourselves.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if I'm naked, I'm having sex. If, right. Or if I'm with a person, like we were talking about before, if I'm with a person who is, you know, and I am not attracted to them, if we have a great connection, I'm having sex with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of, when it's always there, it's a burden.
Right.
It's stressful.
Exactly.
And I think it's because, in my opinion, there's so much shame and fear taught behind sex, like sex education or what we learn from culture or our families. And when there's all this fear behind it, then there's not a lot of clarity behind your decisions. It's like, it's one thing or another. It's not right. The fact, there's no gray.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no such thing as just like hanging out with another guy and just being friends, which right. Is sad to believe that way.
I think, and I don't know if it happens everywhere. I just also growing up in Utah, I just also had to that lesson of not what's the word? Hooking up with a guy is an exception and not the rule.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Is that was what one of the biggest things I had to learn. And I think I still am potentially probably learning it.
And maybe you'll relate to this, but my whole life you're taught never ever go down that road. And so when you decide to not follow celibate life or anything, then there's no such thing as being healthy. You just go all in. Like everything's right. Everything's a go because you already crossed that line and there's no such thing as like figuring out what's healthy for you.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the moment you one experience, then you're just on a full on sprint and you're just going through things and you don't really know what you're doing.
Right. And the unfortunate thing behind that is once you decide to live your life, it's a really rough patch or a really rough road learning.
Learn through
mistakes.
Oh, and
versus that's... like having someone there to teach you, oh, it's important to learn what's good for you and there is such a thing as your own path, and what's good for you might not be good for someone else. So it's just about being present and grounded in your own needs and feelings.
And I think, I wish I had that.
Same.
I learned my lessons through mistakes.
Right.
Which I don't regret. I don't necessarily love. I'm sure that if I could rewind time, there's a couple things that I would have done differently. as anyone would. But I think that lesson, if taught earlier, could prevent some certain things happening. Some things you have to learn.
Well, and the beauty behind mistakes is that you get to learn.
Right.
I think celebrating mistakes is a great thing to do. While you said, like, there's some things that have just been nice to be aware enough for, or have been talked to about. At the same time, like, don't beat yourself up too much.
Oh, absolutely.
The worst thing to do is to never learn that lesson. You know, whether it's not making the mistake ever or not. Like, I'd rather make the mistake and learn the lesson versus...
Oh, 100%. Or you learn the lesson, but then it doesn't... You don't progress and continue to learn.
Right.
Or it puts you back somewhere that you didn't want to be, which I've seen before. And it's, again, mostly Utah. But I also feel like it just is also a thing of coming out and learning about yourself and your sexuality and your sexual experiences. I think that every person can relate on some level of thinking like they thought one way, and then they thought once they crossed that line, like you said, they felt like they had to do. They're like, well, this is the person I am now,
right?
And this is what I do. And you're just like, it's not how it works.
Well, and I think as an artist, we go through phases of what we want to talk about in our work. And there was a big chunk of time where it was really important for me to explore and discuss that whole conversation that nudity isn't only one thing. It's beauty. It's also vulnerability. It's not just sex. And so I created a lot of content that was about being vulnerable and being open and the beauty behind the human body. And I kind of find myself working towards different narratives now, but I still think that's a very important message, at least for my life story. And just to learn for myself that there's a time and a place for all things, and your needs and who you are is something to stay connected to.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'm having a hard time putting into words what I'm thinking.
I can hear what you're saying. And the reason why you're here, and the reason why, like, I was so excited to do this and talk about this was because I think it's a story that everyone can not only relate to, but also needs to hear. I just think that, like, that lesson, an understanding of you can separate the two, and you can separate yourself, and not everything is sexual in nature, but also appreciating that when it is sexual or when it is, and when it's art, you can appreciate both.
Right.
But you can do that at a separate times and separate moments. And that deciphering and that being able to figure out what exactly is the intention that you're doing, I think that that part has become blurred for a lot of people, including myself.
Well, and even just the fact that, as we both have mentioned, it's hard to express what we're thinking is a sign that it's something that we need to talk more about.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's so hard to talk because it's a subject we haven't spent much time talking about.
Oh, 100%.
How do I voice this idea I have?
That's yeah.
It's so
yeah.
unexplored. Yeah, I mean, not by everyone, so true. But by us.
But I think that only gets worse when you get on your Instagram or social media and you're scrolling through and there's like this, like someone's just absolutely naked and towering and beautiful and all these things, and their caption is like this deeply inspiring, like, quote from like Maya Angelou, and you're like, I don't see the connection and I don't know what to make of it. And then you see comments of people who are like objectification on all ways, shapes and forms,
right?
And then you have specific accounts who are pertaining to like dudes, or you know, dudes with nice asses, or you know, they're like, you know, they're, I don't know, just like a whole bunch of accounts. So I think that again, that line gets blurred and it's hard to figure out, do I appreciate because it's art, or do I appreciate it because I'm aroused by it?
Right.
And I think that we all have to do a better job at figuring out the difference.
Yeah.
Because when Tumblr got, for example, when Tumblr got nixed for all of its inappropriate, for its
R.I.P. Tumblr.
What were your thoughts? And were you like, well,
I was like, well, I have to find a new place to find porn. Is that a little too candid?
No, it was great. And
my
Tumblr
was like motivational quotes in between porn. It'd be like some porn video and then be like, just remember that you're enough. And then you keep on scrolling.
See, mine was pizza. It was like pizza, like different slices of pizza and like recipes. And it was like Sean Cody 30 seconds. And then he kept going. Then it was like Sean Cody 30 seconds. And I was like, all right, this is nice. So I was going, I understand the Tumblr, but
right.
But like, I think that,
okay,
I mean,
I'll re-download Reddit.
But everyone was just so upset when it got deleted. And Tumblr's whole purpose was like, we want to get back to why we started this app. Was for the art and for people to express themselves via art, and we think that it's lost its meaning.
I understand that.
And there are people, but I mean, like, there was a, I mean, I remember some accounts that I follow, they were like, yeah, fuck Tumblr, I'm going to Twitter, blah, 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 I'm never, Tumblr, this is ridiculous, this is unfair, you're limiting my speech and my art. And I'm like, can your, like, understall video at the local Macy's be called art? I don't know. Like, I don't know if you like jerking off in, like, a dressing room in American Eagle is art. Yeah. I don't know. And, like, but then people agreed with these accounts.
Well, I think maybe a lot of gays have experienced what it feels like to not be able to express who they really are or what their feelings are, whether it be sexual ones or not.
Right.
And so we really prioritize, and it's really important to us, where we have platforms where we get to express who we are, whether it's our sex lives or our thoughts on politics or whatever it is. I think I find myself and my friends a little more sensitive than normal to having our expression threatened because we've experienced a lifetime of repression. Not expressing our true selves. And so I can understand that reaction to being shut down, and I also understand Tumblr's like desire to get back to their roots of like a focus on art. At the same time, you know, the porn Tumblr users being frustrated because they had this platform where they got to express something that was important to them, and then having it taken away, and that's kind of like trauma. You know, it's bringing up trauma where you don't get to be who you are,
right?
So we're denying you that, and that's like a scar every gay has.
Right. And I guess, yeah, like, when I was on both sides of the coin, I was just like, yeah, it sucks that I, like, this is happening, but also, like, now my Tumblr is all pizza. But I mean, it's just like, now, but now it's like, people are, I mean, yeah, like, I can kind of see how it would be nice and how it, and why Tumblr would go about it the way.
I'm not gonna lie, like, obviously, it feels good for whatever I express to matter to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it'd be ignorant to be like, oh, I'm above that and it doesn't matter to me. That's obviously an aspect, but I think the main purpose is feeling like I have somewhere to just express what I'm feeling. Whether it's just a conversation with a person or a social media platform, it's very important for me to discuss what's important to me. I like to talk about, or have liked to talk about a lot in my work, about the beauty behind the body and the beauty behind vulnerability. And that video we talked about, like the beauty behind sexual connection. Though I think it would be a better world if shame and fear didn't have to be associated with sex and nudity, and that it could be sexual, it didn't have to be sexual, and we could just accept all of those things. I think it'd be a better world. There'd be a lot less bad things happening, like, in the sexual realm, if
right.
people could just accept their sexuality and the expression mm-hmm. of it. That being said, I think safety and consent are always important.
Oh, 100%. But, yeah.
Whether you're trying to talk about sexuality or your feelings about religion, social media, the benefit is it provides something where you get to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the value it gives for me. Also admitting that, yes, validation will always make you feel good. But I think if you can stay rooted in focusing on the importance of getting your feelings out and learning more about yourself and learning about your feelings. Like, a lot of the times when I'm talking with friends, like, when we talk, I learn in our discussions. Like, I'll say something and I'll be like, oh, that doesn't sound right.
Or
it'll, like, validify my own feelings when I say it out loud. I'm like, yeah, I really do believe that. Or you'll say something I didn't think about.
Oh, same. It happens both. I mean, but even this conversation now, I'm just like, I have to rethink that because I don't know if I... It comes off as shaming account. Like, I'm sure, like, it comes off as shaming for some people, which I'm not trying to do.
Oh, right.
Because I appreciate all accounts. And when someone's like,
ew. If you're comparing, like, if I'm comparing myself to this certain account because they're super fit and, like, always on top of their goals, and I'm not, it's actually not their problem. It's mine. You know,
right.
Like, it's not the fact that they're sharing these beautiful pictures of themselves, that's the problem. The problem is that my own feelings about myself is affected by the fact that they're sharing it. And so it's not about getting people to stop sharing, you know, beautiful aspects. It's about learning, why am I so caught up in what they're doing?
Right.
Why is it bothering me in a negative manner? And then figuring that out.
So what would you, so to a person who struggles with that and who struggles with that problem, what would you advise them or what would you say to them? Would you tell them to take a break? Would you tell them to unfollow the account? I mean, what would you, like, in my head, like, when it is, if an account is affecting me negatively, I just unfollow it.
Right.
And I don't really think about, I don't think much else.
Well, people are so different and how they need to work through things is different.
Right.
For me, I find the more I don't talk about something, the worse it gets. And so for me, the first step is to talk. And I probably sound like a crazy person, but, like, in the car or when I'm home alone, I talk out loud to myself.
Oh, because I have conversations with myself.
It's my first step of, like, learning how I feel about things. And then having those conversations with other people. And that, like, liberates me so much. And at the same time, like you said, taking a break, I've learned, like, with Instagram or at the gym, if my motives are getting changed, I remove myself until I can reset my intentions. That's worked for me.
Right.
Maybe it'll work for other people too, but I'm sure there's people out there that have different personalities than me that I wouldn't work for.
Right.
But I think it's very important to be aware of how things are affecting you and not blaming it on them and realizing, oh, this is affecting me because I'm insecure about this and I need to, like, work that out for myself.
I guess
that's my advice.
That was done. That was beautifully said. And honestly, I have never thought about it like that. So I'm definitely gonna take that and have to, like, work through it, which is great.
Well, I think back of my, like, Mormon days, how I used to view porn and the, like, consumption of it. I was so judgmental of it, also doing it,
right?
But hating myself and thinking it was the nastiest thing ever. And honestly, when it comes to the end of it, it's just a betrayal of my own feelings and views of the world, not because it was this evil thing.
Right.
And then I learned that, you know, accepting yourself and sexuality is a great thing. And then it totally changed. And my view of porn changed. It wasn't this bad thing. And anybody who does it is bad. It was like, oh, that's cool. It's what they want to do, hopefully.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Gay porn is such a different conversation than straight porn.
100%.
Because all this sexism and stuff, and it's like...
Yeah, there is.
Every time you're like, well, I really hope everyone's there of their own consent, and because they wanted to be, not because they had to be there. The social view of porn, like, if you do porn, it kind of eliminates a lot of opportunities in the business world because of how society views it.
Right.
Not because it's bad or your intentions in it are good or bad. It's just because of people's ideas surrounding it. And so, yeah, it's like, make that decision very consciously.
Right.
Which is unfortunate when people are forced into that kind of, they feel like they're, or they are forced
like they have into no that other kind choice. Of situation. Yeah. Yeah.
I think if we can eliminate shame behind nudity, behind sex, behind yourself and your own body, that decision's going to be made in a more healthy way, in a more conscious way. Because when we're scared or ashamed of something, we don't necessarily act in a way that's in our own best interests.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so insightful about porn.
Thanks. Appreciate
and
it.
Art, but mostly porn.
This is what I get known for.
Yeah. Right. So, as Master Mass tradition, we do a game. Gay game, like G-A-Y dash M. Yeah.
Okay.
A game. And when we have guests, we call it Between the Cheeks with Curtis Dallin.
Okay.
Because we really like to get up close and personal. So it's a rapid fire, essentially.
Okay.
And you do, I mean, like, it's not rapid fire. You can just answer as you go, but we have a couple questions. And by we, I mean me. But Trent's here in spirit. Hi,
yeah,
Trent.
I feel it.
Hi, Queen.
Him. All right. I feel him.
You ready to play? Ready for this? Okay, here
I'm
we go.
I'm ready.
Your first celeb crush.
Brad Pitt.
New York or San Francisco?
New York.
Tied up or blindfolded?
Tied up.
Boxers or briefs?
Sorry, what?
Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Dog daddy or cat daddy?
Dog.
The next place you want to travel to?
Portugal.
Musical you... Oh, wait, that's just pertaining to me. One thing you tell your younger you?
Leave. No. Love yourself and quit listening to everyone else.
Female celeb you know you'd be best friends with?
Melissa McCarthy.
McCarthy. In the locker room or in the principal's office?
Ooh, principal's office.
McSteamy or McDreamy?
McDreamy.
What did I say? Sean Cody or Cocky Boys?
Oh, Cocky Boys.
Demi or Selena?
Demi.
Tongue or no tongue?
Depends.
Ooh. Caromo or Anthony?
Caromo.
Tan or Caromo?
Ugh. That's unfair. Tan.
Because you shot with him. But if he ever listens to this,
like, is he any more offended by that or like flat? I don't know. Flattered.
No you idea. Said Caromo. No one usually says Caromo. I said Caromo.
I have no idea why.
Underwear or Commando?
Commando. Don't
know why I said that. If you could be one person for a day,
Michelle Obama.
Ooh. That's why we're best friends. That would be incredible.
I heard she gets up at like 3 in the morning.
Of course she
does.
And
I've never considered getting up at 3 in the morning more. I mean, I didn't make the decision, but I was like, maybe I should do that.
But like, what does she do at 3 in the morning?
Rule the world?
Oh, that's fair. She's amazing. Oh man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks. We'll end on that, but that's a really good one.
Okay.
Michelle Obama, I never thought about that. Okay. Ooh, okay. Oh, what about one person you, like, one person at a random that you want to do a photo shoot with? The next person.
Next person?
Yeah.
Myself.
Oh.
Because, like I said, I consider kind of like my own personal therapy.
Okay.
And I think sometimes just like it's important to sit down and converse with yourself. I think it's also important for me to sit down and like visually converse with myself because I work with other people all the time doing that.
Right. Would someone else take the photos? You have like a little timer thing. You just snap your own.
I've done both scenarios, like where I set up everything and have someone click it, or I'm just like by myself, set the timer and run.
Fascinating.
I should probably get one of those clickers.
I was going to say there's like little clickers, but I mean.
But then you'd notice. And I'd be like. Listeners are like, going to see that
throw
face.
The clicker out before it hits.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe that's an option.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I love that. Okay, I like that. Okay, everyone will have to watch for your
self-portrait
therapy sessions on your account, because I love that. And then, so another tradition of the Mastermind Podcast is that we always have a final plug, because we love to plug in this podcast. So
plug.
So we plug is just like something that you saw or watched or read or some advice or something like that that you want to give, that you want to just like talk about, plug to. So I'll do mine first, so you can kind of hear what it means. So okay. My plug is to the newly elected openly gay senator in Colorado.
Oh, cool!
I thought that was super cool. I don't know his name, but I will look it up later, and I will feel bad about this, but mad props, because that is incredible. My plug is that we are broken, but there are people working their asses off to fix it. So
I love yours. It's beautiful.
That. Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't have to be as intricate as that.
I was like, I have to think of much. Like, mine was not important.
It doesn't have to be. Do whatever you want.
Okay, well, I'm gonna stick with it then.
Yeah, stick with it.
You guys are gonna hate me now compared to that one, but I'm in love with the new show and book, Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat. It's on Netflix.
Ooh, I just saw that. My roommate's been watching it.
Oh my god, it's so good. My one of my other passions, my hobbies, is cooking. Like, I want to become a really good cook.
Okay.
And that show, and I'm reading the book right now, is unique and really educational. And I love it. So watch the show or read the book or both.
See, that's a great plug.
Thanks.
You didn't even need a lot of help. Holy cow. Good for you.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, Curtis, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
You're incredible. And
this is my first.
I know.
You took my podcast virginity.
I know, and that is quite the honor.
Is it, was I the first person to photograph you in like a studio model scenario?
In that setting, yes.
Okay, well, let's just stick with that, because then it makes this poetic. You know, I took your modeling virginity. You took
if that's what you're going for, then yes, absolutely. Because honestly, because before there's never been a studio.
I didn't try to make that connection at all.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's never been a studio in any other time someone took my photo before. So that really was my first time.
Okay, sweet.
And it was incredible.
And it made you take your shirt off.
And you took your shirt off, and like, then you douse me in
baby oil. Food dye.
Yeah. I'll show the pictures so everyone understands what we're talking about. But it was an incredible photo shoot, and everything I've worked with you and what I've saw, it's always been a treat. Honestly,
you're always a treat. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm really glad they're able to come on. I'm sure Trent will be back next time, but you know, I'm really glad that Curtis is here, and everyone make good choices and love yourself and love art, and especially if it's Curtis's art. And I think that's everything.
Sweet. Thank you.
Do you want to say bye to everyone?
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Make your choices. Love you all.